It's called the crossover. It's a term used by demographers to describe a population in which there are more seniors than children. We're facing down that situation right now in Canada, and it's going to affect every aspect of our lives. There's concern about what it will mean for the economy when there are fewer younger working Canadians to pay taxes and fill the jobs left by retirees. The Institute of Marriage and Family Canada says it has the answer. In a new report called 40 Years Below Replacement, researcher Derek Miedema argues that the solution is bigger families. Canadians need to have more children. Derek Miedema is our guest today. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
So today we're asking you, what would encourage you to have more children? Give us a call. Our number is toll-free anywhere in the Maritimes, 1-800-565-1940. If you're in the Halifax area, call us at 420-9336. You can also send us an email with your thoughts on what would encourage you to have more children. The email address here is marnoon@cbc.ca. People are already discussing this on our Facebook page as well, and you can add your comments to the discussion there. You'll find us on Facebook by searching for Maritime Noon. All right, Derek, you know, it's an interesting problem here. We aren't having as many kids, but do we want more kids? What's the gap between the number of children women would like to have and the number they're actually having?
Well, that's the key message here. We're not having enough kids because the average number of ideal children runs at about 2.7. And of course, we're speaking on an average. That's why we get decimal places.
Sure.
The actual rate in Canada in 2010 is 1.63. So we're more than one child below that ideal level.
All right. So we want to have more kids, though. Is that true?
Yes, I take it that when families are polled and they say their ideal number would be close to three and they're actually having less than two, then there is that discrepancy between the actual number they're having and the actual number they'd want to have.
I'm sure there's lots of reasons for this, but that's what you were looking at. What did you find? Why are people having fewer children?
Well, we know from our research and for others that finances are a huge concern for families at all stages of life, whether kids are young or in university or anywhere in between. We know, looking at the data for real estate, for example, that across Canada and the five major cities, since 1976, housing prices have gone up, I think, 227%, excuse me. We know that education costs continue to go up, and we know that taxes continue to go up. There's also the issue of the question of whether families need to buy all the toys and things they do for their kids. There's discretionary spending involved too. But as all these fixed costs in terms of real estate and taxes and education increase, that leaves less money behind to raise kids. And I can understand that when parents see estimates in terms of the cost to raise a child to the age of 18, that could be hundreds of thousands of dollars, they take a deep breath or swallow hard and say, I just don't have the cash.
Okay, so if we had more money, we might have more kids, you think?
Well, that's one figure. These are profoundly personal decisions that are made by couples themselves. So I have no, there's no one solution. All these are issues that we're raising to bring attention to them. And hopefully, you know, your listeners, if they're reading that report, they can look at these issues and they may see themselves reflected, their experience reflected in those issues.
Okay. And we're asking people to tell us today, what would encourage you to have more children? So we'd like to hear from you at 1-800-565-1940 or 420-9336. Hannah Gibson is first on the line from Dartmouth. Hello, Hannah.
Hello.
Hi, Hannah. I hear you've got some kids along with you there.
I do. I often have small people with me.
Okay. How many children do you have, Hannah?
I have three.
You have three. And would you like to have...
We have three, I should say. Sorry.
Okay. Would you like to have more?
Yes and no. I think it would be a bad decision for me to have more, but my experience with children hasn't been all that difficult. It's been great, and you know, I look forward to raising our family, but I don't think it would be a good idea for a number of reasons.
So what would encourage you or other Canadian women families to have more children? What's missing here?
I think there's a number of things that might help. One is the social setups. I can't really speak much for other parts of the country, but I know in in Nova Scotia, it's not set up for women and families to have children and still go out and make enough money to raise those families or to support early career decisions or to help manage bank accounts and bills owing and those sorts of things.
So is it lack of affordable child care there or lack of flexible work arrangements? What's the missing thing?
Both of those things, I think, would definitely help. Myself and my husband, we run a business. We have 20 employees, and he works for another small business elsewhere in the province. So we wheel and deal with our family members to try and help cover childcare and those sorts of things. But to pay $30 or $40 a day for not even affordable, that's just the basic cost of childcare. We have three children, $120 a day, 5 days a week, and it's just not one of those things where either one of us can afford to stay home and still pay the bills. But there's definitely as you said in the beginning of the piece, what happens to our Canadian society if people stop having children,
which is
basically, you know, our I don't know the statistics behind that, but I know there are very few of my friends and family who are out there procreating in order to support economically Canada going forward. But there are also lots of naysayers out there that say we don't want to have to rely on immigration. We don't want to rely on low-income families having children because those families are not necessarily producing the children and the individuals that are going to raise the level of society. There's a whole myriad of different ways you can look at it.
But. Well, yeah, and you've hit on many of the important issues that we want to discuss today. And if you have three children, so you've done your part. we need 2 points.
I really do.
All right. Well, Hannah, thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining in. All right, Derek, a call there for, if there were more options for affordable daycare, then maybe there would be more children. Do you support that? Should the government be doing more to make childcare accessible and affordable?
Well, the question of one question is should, the other question is can, and I'd like to concentrate on the can. We know that presently provincial governments and federal governments are racking up deficits and ballooning debt. And so they're not presently in the situation of being able to support seriously subsidized daycare. And in fact, we just have recently a statement in BC as they prepare, I believe the budget has just come down, that they just cannot afford projected $1.5 billion annually to support $7 a day or $10 a day daycare.
Well, they could do it in Quebec, and it's had an impact.
Well, the question is, can they do it in Quebec? They're also mired in debt, but in terms of the impact that it's had, If the desire is to raise the birth rate back up to 2.1, it can, government intervention can nudge the birth rate up, but is it sustainable? You know, can Quebec continue to subsidize daycare? That's a choice that they're going to have to make in the economic context they're in, and it's a very difficult choice.
So what would you suggest if it's not government-subsidized daycare?
Well, that's the real challenge. There is no one solution to this. I think that we have a number of issues that we bring attention to. I think also the reality is that, like myself, actually, more people are marrying later. And that the prevailing view of it used to be that perhaps you'd get married and you'd build your life together. And now it's you build your life, you get your education, and you get your job and your career figured out, and then you marry. And I understand that. That's the way I worked. But what that means is that as we marry older and we have children later, it's less likely that we're going to have, three or four, two or three.
Yeah, you don't want to be chasing a toddler in your 50s, maybe.
No, it's basically that. And mm-hmm. So it involves more than just a financial fix. It involves cultural change as well, that people would desire to have kids for the benefit and for the reason of having kids and enjoying kids. And it's not, this is a profoundly personal decision again. It's not only about supporting the economy going forward. It's about raising kids, being a parent, and enjoying watching those kids grow up and struggling through what it takes to raise them to be responsible adults.
All right. We have lots of callers. Bridget DeVoe is next in Yarmouth. Hi, Bridget.
How are you?
Hi, I'm well. What would encourage you to have more children?
One thing that kind of spoke to me is, well, first of all, I find society these days isn't set up for lots of babies. I mean, like he was talking about the price of babies, like if you have to buy them their cribs and their change tables and all that stuff, and the pressure's there for society to buy all those things for your baby to be a good parent or a good whatever, right? So I think that is the first thing that I think people say, oh, well, you know, it's too expensive. I can't afford all that stuff, so I can only have one or two.
And what did you decide to do, Bridget?
Well, I have three babies under five, and my youngest is 5 months. I'm also young. I'm 25 years old. I started young, and I think it was a great decision, but a lot of people don't really agree. They say, wow, you know, you're so young and you're so busy, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And I think it's great. And one thing, too, is the hospital births versus home births and midwifery programs. I find that the outlook of, like, the hospitals, I mean, yes, they're doing great and the nurses are awesome, but, you know, they have all kinds of supports and stuff in there. But I think a lot of times, like when I was having my first child, public health nurses are constantly at you, you know, do you need this, do you need that, you have to do this, you have to do that. And yes, they're trying to help and they're trying to, you know, be eyes for you and this, but I think it puts a lot of pressure on young moms as well to, you know, to be efficient and to make sure that you're doing everything right. And I mean, no, everyone has their own ways. And so I think that might be another reason why people are saying, well, maybe one is enough, because it's a huge responsibility and there's so much to know. And so I think maybe the pressures from the hospitals as well could be a reason why people aren't having babies.
All right. And you say that you're hoping to have more. You have three already and you're hoping to have more.
I'm not so sure. I mean, I would love to. But like I said, society is definitely, I mean, I also have advantage. Like we, my husband is a band member, so we also have a lot of advantages for that. But some people don't have that option of, you know, they're burdened with, you know, cost of education and all sorts of things.
Well, yes, that's right. And
yeah,
maybe you can ask Derek about that. You know, if you're in your 20s and with a huge student debt, and we hear, you know, that there aren't any jobs for people who are 20-something, hard to convince them to have kids, Derek, isn't it?
Oh, very hard to convince them to have kids. And so we get again at issues that are structural, that are very influential in the decisions of parents. We need to address the issue of jobs for young people. We need to address, I appreciate, Brigitte, I believe, that the comment about the expectation of buying the best and doing everything right. You know, is it, can parents steel themselves against that pressure from society and buy a good quality used crib or go to a clothes swap? There are different ways we can deal with that. But in terms of young people and cost of education, that's at this point, I think, an intractable issue that individual couples are going to have to work through in terms of how it influences their choices.
Okay, 1-800-565-1940 or 420-9336. We're asking today, what would encourage you to have more children? I'll be back to take more of your calls in a moment. But first, Ryan Pierce has a news update. Hello, Ryan.
Hi, Normally. A pastor who's been talking to people in Woods Harbor, Nova Scotia, says some people are upset that the search for five fishermen was called off last night. Rescue officials said last evening that it was too cold and stormy and the chances of survival had diminished there. Meanwhile, the U.S. Coast Guard has released a long-range infrared photograph of a life raft that was spotted early on in the search. A company from Caraquet has been picked to build the new Moncton High School. Fulham Construction's bid came in at $27.4 million. And many schools are closed or closing early in the region today. Most students in New Brunswick did not go to class today, and many students in Cape Breton went home before noon. More local news at 1 o'clock normally.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. Once again, we're asking today, what would encourage you to have more children? My guest is Derek Miedema. He's a researcher with the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, and he's put out a report that says Canadians should have more children, must have more children to help deal with future labor labor shortages, and to address the fact that Canada may soon have more seniors than children. Our number is 1-800-565-1940 or 420-9336. Just a couple of tweets I'll share. This one from Kevin, who responds to the idea of accessible or perhaps more government subsidized daycare. He says, many suggest free daycare and other bailouts, but the rest of us can't afford to pay extra tax for that either as a subsidy. And Jack Pine questions the idea of that we need more children at all. He says, serious. Expanding population is like a cancer on the earth. We need to adapt our economic system to stable populations. So those are some of the comments we're getting on Twitter. Anik Gagnon is our next caller in Grand Falls, New Brunswick. Hi, Anik.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for the call. What would encourage you to have more children?
Encourage me to have more children. In my case, I'm an older mother. I'm 34. I've got two kids, 1 4, 1 2, both in daycare. It's costing, you know, it's a New Brunswick provincial daycare, so it's costing a bundle just to have them in there. And in my situation, the issue was that I'm the primary breadwinner in our family. I'm a pharmacist, and the maternity leave, when I was on maternity leave for my first child, I was on maternity leave for 3 weeks, three months. And then the second child, I was on maternity leave for 5 months only. Even though we're allowed the full year, I wasn't able to actually take that full year and be at home with my children because there just wasn't enough money coming in. And, you know, you hit that maximum and it's like, well, the 5 months that I was at home was only because I had vacation saved up.
So
I was able to stay at home.
So even with the 1 year mat leave, it's not enough to convince you have more kids. All right. So what's the answer, do you think?
It's hard to say. Yes, you've got the taxes and we're already, you know, paying a lot for that. We're already paying a lot. The government is in the deficit. The answer is probably pretty complex as far as I'm concerned. Subsidizing daycare it would be nice, like they do in Quebec. My sister lives in Quebec, and it's, you know, she's telling me what she pays for daycare every week, and I just want to, nice. It would be wonderful, but in our case, maybe it's not necessarily an option in our province. I'm sure there's a solution somewhere. Somebody was talking about the midwives and maybe trying to have more kids in a home setting versus a hostel. I'm sure that would cut a lot of cost. Not everybody's decision is to go that route. I know I had both my children in hospital, ended up with a C-section for both of them. I'm sure it's extremely complicated to find a way to be able to allow parents to have more children. I'm extremely happy with both my kids. We've made the decision not to have a third. It was a hard decision to make, but we've adopted a puppy, so I guess we have our third kid there right now.
Are you concerned there'll be nobody to pay for you in your old age? That, you know, we can't afford our expensive health care as the population tips towards seniors?
It is a concern. I mean, as a pharmacist, we deal with a lot of the nursing homes and, you look at the hospitals having patients in hospital that are waiting to be placed in a nursing home for a year, year and a half, before they actually get into a nursing home. The cost of those issues are, it's amazing, those costs. And, you know, we're only starting to see that that's a major issue. We're only starting to see the burden of that, and it's definitely not going to be ending anytime soon.
No, I guess not. Well,
it's a hard one.
It is. Thank you so much for calling us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Paul Blackmore in Fredericton is next. Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Hi. We're asking today what would encourage you to have more kids. How many do you have?
We don't want any more at the moment. We've got six.
You've got six. You're the exception.
Yeah, we're the exception.
Big family this day and age, Paul.
Well, it was, and just a quick run through on our decision. What we decided, we wanted a family, a quality family life. So even though my wife was a registered nurse, and now she's back doing that, we made a conscious choice to live with one salary And also, the other thing that was supplemented that was at the time, I don't know if they even still had that, but there was a tremendous government incentive. It worked out to about almost $200 a kid when they were young.
That's a baby baby bonus, or
yeah, they call it the baby bonus or family allowance or whatever.
Yeah,
and that combined with what my income was at the time, which was quite a modest income. I was just starting a business, and we just decided to live poor, and we really got into that living poor business. we shopped all the secondhand stores we could. We drove older cars. And financially, we made the choice to be poor, but honestly, really, the richness, we look back now over the times that we had, really, it was financially probably the poorest time in our lives, but it was, in every other respect, it was probably the richest time we have ever been as a family. We just looking back through old photos, and we were so poor. The only vacation we could do would be do a bit of camping on the weekends and whatnot. But my wife was home, and she really put her heart and soul into it. And she was probably the main driver for the when we were originally planning on three. But when we got to three, we thought, well, what's one more? And so at that point, we had three girls and one boy. So we thought, well, let's try to even it out. Eventually, we ended up with six, and we got three boys, three girls. So.
There you go. You know, why don't more of us see it your way, Paul?
Well, I don't know. I guess we are probably a bit of an old-fashioned family. I guess you could mark me down as someone who, you know, takes a stand for Christian values and whatnot. And I don't know. It was that was sort of part of our decision. I realize it must be very hard for people today who, you know, have to rely on the daycare. But with my wife staying home, and that was a conscious choice on her part because, I mean, she's fully qualified to go out and earn huge dollars. But we just made that choice, and really, we don't regret it as a family. And just one other little word of encouragement to anyone who might be at that threshold, you know, should we do it or should we not? Just two quick pieces of advice. One is we thought it would be great when, you know, if we were going to have them, whatever we're going to have, you know, have them in, you know, succession. So we had ours in the space of 10 years. They were roughly whatever, maybe 20 months apart, but it was about 10 years of raising the children, and the interaction that those children have, the network that they have, even though three of them are married now, one of them is living on the West Coast, really the connections those children have, just because you've got that many, it's really awesome. And one other point I was going to say is, in terms of confusion in the home, I think about three, if you can handle three successfully, six is nothing, really.
Okay.
When you go over three, there's enough interaction within the kids that it's actually not that hard to manage, because they entertain themselves. And the only other consideration is, when you go over five, then you've got a problem getting transportation.
Yeah.
For a while, we had to literally buy, and we had to get licensed for like a 15-passenger van, because you can't put, six kids and two adults in a 7-passenger van.
Well, there are definitely concerns like that. Well, look, thank you for sharing your experience, Paul.
All right.
Good of you to call and tell us about it. Okay, 1-800-565-1940 or 420-9336. We're asking, what would encourage you to have more children? And we'll take a call next from Allison in Halifax. Hello, Allison.
Hi there.
Hi. What do you think? Would you like to have more children?
Well, I would have. I'm in my 40s now. We have one son who was born quite late in life. He was a fabulous little miracle. But my biggest issue is daycare. And we pay for our one little man in the summertime over $700 a month in daycare. And currently, right now, he's in grade two. He only goes to daycare after school. That's it. And that still throws us close to $400 a month. And it's very, very expensive. My husband and I both have good jobs. And we can barely make it as it is with just the one child. And, you know, there are subsidies done in Quebec. I know I grew up there. And, I heard somebody else talking about, you know, taxpayers having to absorb the cost of that. And while I do appreciate that, if we do need to raise the population, I think those are the kind of issues that we just really need to address. If they can make it work in one province, why can't we make it work in another? And, you know, when you think about those costs, they're just they're really, really hard. I couldn't even imagine as a single parent trying to cover daycare for more than one child.
Yeah, and Derek, you say that that's not the answer, but you know, we have lots of examples of callers and people on Twitter who say it is. It's the daycare costs.
Well,
it really is for a lot of us parents. Yeah. It comes down to having to pay that out every single month, and it's a massive cost. And I don't know if people quite appreciate how much, you know, when you add up, like I'm just headed in my taxes to my accountant, and we paid over $6,000 in daycare for one child. You know, I mean, I can buy a car cheaper than that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right, Derek, you want to respond on this idea that you know, daycare is the answer here?
Well, you know, in my research, I'm looking at the big picture in terms of the long term. And I don't discount the difficulty. My wife and I have two young kids, and when she's done her second mat leave, we'll have two in daycare. But I know that presently, governments don't have the money to spend without racking up more debt to subsidize daycare. And if because demographics is not an exact science, I need to say be clear on the if. But if the birth rate continues as it is, and we have fewer workers and fewer taxpayers at the same time as the baby boomer generation is retiring in full, then we will have a huge number of people reaching 80, 85, requiring more intensive long-term care right at the time when we have a stagnant or a shrinking tax base.
Right, but if you don't invest in daycare, then you may not have children to pay those staggering healthcare costs.
But I don't think daycare itself is the answer, because yes, Quebec has been able to raise its birth rate, but it hasn't been able to bring it back up to replacement. Okay. And the question remains, are those kind of benefits even in Quebec going to be available long term?
Okay, Allison, did you want to comment?
Yes, one tiny little comment that just occurred to me. If we have all this aging population that we need to support and we need to have young children, the problem is that parents like me can't afford it. Maybe some of those retiring people could offer their services to provide daycare for those of us who are trying to pay for their pensions.
That's a good idea.
That sounds like a great idea.
Allison, thank you for calling us.
Thanks.
All right. Crystal Mader is next in Halifax. Hi, Crystal.
Hi.
Hi. What are you thinking about our discussion today? What would encourage you to have more children?
Well, I'm thinking from a different standpoint. I have no children right now. My husband and I have been together for 12 years, married for the past three, and I have infertility. So that's the reason why we don't have children. My point is the government wants us to have more children so that we can sustain our population. Well, I think they need to invest in women who have, or men who have infertility issues. I know that there's in some provinces, they're lobbying for fertility treatments for, like, in vitro to be funded by the government. You know, they don't always work, so that can be problematic. But I think that that's another reason. There are women out there who have had one child, and who can't have more because of secondary infertility.
So if the government helped you pay for the treatments, perhaps we would have a higher birth rate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good point. Thank you, Crystal.
Thanks.
All right, let's go to Michael Watson in Crosstown, Nova Scotia. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. We're asking what would encourage you to have more children. What do you think the answer is?
Well, I'm 58. We had two. They were spaced six years apart by choice, and they're both staying in the area. I now have a grandchild by my daughter. They're wonderful. They're busy. They're active. And I question whether people should be encouraged to have more children.
What do you think, then? If the population is falling, what do you think the answer is?
Well, let's be more friendly to our immigrants, please. Since it's a small world and it's a huge country here, that would be a good thing.
So you think more immigration to balance out the aging population?
I think so, from some of this, quote, CFA stuff that I've heard about. But anyway, I've been here for a long time. The other thing one woman just said, which I think is wonderful, is the people who actually hold the $6 trillion, which are these people who, I'm the last of the baby boomers, so the very last, but the ones ahead of us who really, you know, they line up and say, I want my seniors discount, and I'm not being rude, but release some of that. And I know a lot of people are on fixed incomes and everything else, but for those that actually have that fluent income right now, come back, be elders to the little kiddies, you know, running around in kindergarten and come back and teach what you've learned
to help offset childcare costs is what
absolutely.
You're saying.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely, because they're out there and they are in fact affluent. And so get out there and come back to the community. Don't just be, don't just be being old.
All right, Michael, thank you for the call.
All right.
Good
well,
to hear.
I didn't say everything that I wanted to say, but yeah, hold your hormones and don't have too many kids.
Okay.
There's lots out there. Share your children with other people. They really enjoy them. Some people don't want to have children, and so share your children with them. And, you know, it'll all balance out, but just, you know, be broad-minded about it.
Right. Thank you.
All right.
Sherry Smith is next in Halifax. Hello, Sherry.
Hello.
Hi. We're asking what would encourage you to have more children.
It's for me personally. Right now, it's a little late. My husband has had a procedure done, but
okay.
We have two kids. And
so, in general,
no. Yes. But for us, even with two kids, I find it's really a struggle a lot for us. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I chose to be that way because it's important to me, you know, to be here for my kids. And maybe a lot of people just feel they don't have the choice to stay at home because it's just everything costs more and the child care is outrageous. So if you have more than one kid, it's unbelievably expensive to put them in daycare. But, yeah, I wish there were more maybe tax breaks or some kind of system that would encourage people. Like, if you wanted to stay at home, then you could, and a tax relief would be helpful.
Well, Derek, you have some suggestions on how the idea of encouraging families to have more children could be worked through the tax system. What are you suggesting?
Well, that's one approach, and it is tax relief. Currently, the government allows seniors to split their income. What that would allow for families is, for example, if you have a family where one earner family who earns $70,000 a year, that income splitting might allow that family to split that in half so that each spouse would be claiming $35,000 of income on their income tax form. And that would lower the tax costs of that couple. A 2008 estimate was by about $4,000 on an annual basis, $300 a month that would leave in the pockets of families. So that's a clear way that we can help support people in giving them more freedom to make that choice, to make the choice that they want to make in that regard. It's a way to help them have the freedom to be able to do that.
And doesn't that cost the government money too?
Well, it does cost the government money, but what we're saying in the context of this report, we are going to have to batten down the hatches. We are going to have to encourage people to have kids, but estimates in terms of how much this income splitting would cost would be much less expensive than, for example, a national daycare program. So this is a way that we can offset the cost, and in fact, we can allow couples and families to have more of their own money when at the end of the year when their taxes are filed.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the call. All right. David Brown is next in Fredericton. Hello, David.
Hello.
Hi. What do you think is the answer? How would you encourage Canadians to have more children?
Well, I'm going to go back a couple callers to, I think it was Mike, who talked about being more friendly to the rest of the world and by increasing the immigration. And I would suggest, I'm just curious as to what's wrong with that, other than the fact that the current policies of our government is that we pick the brightest and most productive doctors and engineers and all of the cream of the crop, so to speak, from other countries. And I think that's just killing us.
Okay, sorry, do you want to address that, Derek? Is immigration a big part of the equation here? Because government says it is.
Yeah, I'd love to. And I should say at the offset, I'm a second-generation Canadian myself, so I appreciate the beauty of immigration for Canada as a whole. The reality, in terms of the numbers, is that in 2010, we were about 109,000 kids below replacement rate. On the average, over the last decade or so, Canada has brought between 46 and 60,000 kids under the age of 14 into the country. If we were to double or triple that amount of number of children immigrants coming into the country, we would make a huge increase in our level of immigration. And I know recently in Maclean's magazine, Immigration Minister Jason Kenney was quoted as saying, the level of immigration that we have now, we're already struggling to properly when immigrations come to Canada, we're struggling to envelop them, to bring them into our culture, to bring them into the economy, that if we were to massively raise the number of immigrants, that would make that problem even worse. So while it sounds like a great idea, it's not feasible to ratchet up the number of immigrants as a solution to this problem.
But it's part of it.
Part of it. Absolutely, it's part of it.
Okay.
But it's not the solution.
Yeah, go ahead, David.
That's a completely ludicrous response. That I'm just curious, based on that comment itself and James Kenney, immigration minister, I'm curious, who provides your funding for the Institute of Marriage and Family?
Well, our funding is provided by individual donors and foundations, no government funding whatsoever.
Sure. Would one of the foundations be the National Citizens Coalition?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Well, not that you're aware of.
No, okay, actually, it's not.
Okay, how about this? Because it sounds an awful lot like the front page of Harper's, when he quit politics, you know, from the Reform Party, he went to lead up the National Citizens Coalition. And if you check those guys out, anti-immigration is the number one concern.
All right, well, let Derek agree answer that. Are you anti-immigration?
I'm the son of immigrants myself. Immigration is a wonderful thing for Canada, and immigration does have great benefits and can continue to have great benefits for Canada. The question is, what level of immigration is sustainable? And I mentioned Jason Kenney in his comment, but this point goes beyond who stands in government today. This is more broadly understood than just the government that sits on Parliament Hill.
All right. David, thank you for the call. Thank you for the questions, too. And we're going to have to leave it there. An interesting discussion that we've got going here today, Derek. Lots of callers, lots of people on Twitter talking about it, too. If you're saying, do it for your country, have more kids.
Well, what I hope this paper can accomplish is, again, to lay out the limits that are being placed on families today in terms of their ability to make that choice, in terms of making that choice, rather. This is all food for thought. This isn't going to change overnight, but this is all food for thought. And if people can chew on this and have this information in their hands as they struggle with the decision whether or not to have more kids, that's all that I can ask.
All right. Derek Miedema, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
Derek Miedema is a researcher with the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. And we'd like